to be able to sing those songs about God's love and how that we are the recipients of His love. We are blessed. We have hope. We have the joy of being His children and all the blessings that He has bestowed upon us because of His love. And we sung about that and praised Him for that great love. It's wonderful to be here tonight. Appreciate so much you being here, those of you who come back. We have others that are here that were not here this morning. And we're going to continue our study, as I mentioned this morning, of Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And I want to do a little reviewing. As I mentioned this morning, there are those who believe and teach that under certain circumstances, it is appropriate to break God's law in order to do the right thing. We sometimes have called this situation ethics, that the only thing that's intrinsically good is love. God wants us to love, show mercy, but sometimes doing the loving thing means that we have to break God's law. And that's a view that's taught, and one of the passages that they use to try to prove that is here in Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, as it relates to what Jesus says about David and him eating of the showbread. Let's read the passage again, and I want to do some reviewing for those who were not here this morning. But Jesus, it says, at that time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and His disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to Him, "Look, Your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." But He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, or for those who were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Now, I want to review a little bit of what we talked about. The question is, why does Jesus bring up David doing what is not lawful in response to those who claim that Jesus' disciples were not doing what was lawful in the eating of the grains, plucking the grains in the field and eating them on the Sabbath day? They claimed they were not doing what's lawful. They're violating the Sabbath law. And now Jesus brings up David, who then did that which was not lawful in the eating of the showbread. Only the priest were to eat of the showbread. And we mentioned there are two possibilities. That one is that Jesus is saying, well, in certain circumstances, it's okay to violate the law. As David, maybe he's condoning or excusing David for the violation of the law here because he was hungry, he was needing to eat, and all that he had was the showbread, and that then allowed him to transgress that law in order to satisfy his hunger. And therefore, Jesus' disciples in eating from the stalks in the grain field on the Sabbath was not violating, even though it may have been a violation of the Sabbath, they are allowed to do that. Is that what Jesus is saying? Well, another view of this is that Jesus really is highlighting the inconsistency of the Pharisees. And that's the point that we made this morning. You see, the Pharisees excused David for eating the showbread. And we gave evidence of that. And in fact, I think that's indicated in the passage itself. If the Pharisees had not excused David for eating the showbread, then of course they could have said, "Well, you're condemning yourself. Out of your own mouth we condemn you. You class your act with David, which he did, which was unlawful, and you're doing that yourself, allowing them to do that which is unlawful." And that's what they would have said. They didn't say that. It is evident that they excused David. The Pharisees excused David for eating of the showbread. So, but Jesus doesn't do that here. He's not doing what the Pharisees and other Jews had done, that is, excusing David for eating the showbread. what Jesus did throughout His teaching and even His life. He stressed the keeping of the law and not the transgressing of any law. And we emphasize that, and I want to emphasize that again this evening before we go on any further, looking at these passages again in Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. When Jesus, after He had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, Satan came, the tempter came, and tempted Him. The tempter said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Even when He was hungry, He still would not set aside the Word of God. He was not going to disobey God just because He is hungry, because that's the means by which we have life. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is the means by which we have life. And He wasn't going to disobey God in this respect. Also in Matthew 5, verse 19, Jesus says, "Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." In other words, we are not even to break the least of the commandments. Jesus emphasized the obeying of all of the commands of God. Matthew 23, verse 23, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of men and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith." Notice, "These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." They were emphasizing tithing, were very particular about tithing, but they were leaving undone the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. Jesus said you need to do both. Not only the tithing, but you also need to do these weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. Jesus emphasized doing all that the Lord said. And also in James 2 and verse 10, James says, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he shall become guilty of all." Here the Bible emphasizes the importance of keeping all the law of God. And we said that if Christians may violate law when its observance would involve hardship or suffering, like I'm hungry, or maybe I'm really hungry, I'm famished, and we can disobey God in order to then satisfy that, then there is an end of suffering for the name of Christ and an end of even self-denial. Where are we going to draw the line in those areas where God has given a law? Which laws can I violate in order to do what I believe to be the loving thing or what I might consider to be the right thing then to do? In other words, it really opens up the floodgate for us to do a lot of rationalizing and justifying ourselves in disobeying God for many, many reasons. The point is, Jesus' argument here is this. David, when hungry, ate the showbread, which is unlawful for him to eat. Yet you justify him, he's saying to these Pharisees. My disciples pluck grain and eat it on the Sabbath, an act which the law does not forbid, and yet you condemn them. That's really what Jesus is saying. The Pharisees held double standards. They would excuse the great hero David because he was hungry, but they could not find it in their hearts to excuse lowly men of their time who were also hungry. One can either read this passage as Jesus condoning the breaking of biblical law because David was hungry, or that Jesus was highlighting the inconsistency of his opponents. Now, since Jesus came to fulfill the law and obeyed God in everything he did, and he also emphasized the keeping of the law in his teaching, as we've seen, it is more likely that the latter reading is accurate, especially considering how serious God took priestly matters. For David to just go out on his own and to eat that showbread, which was only lawful for the priests. The priests were only to eat it. To take that lightly because of his hunger. I don't see Jesus doing that in this passage. It's more reasonable to conclude that Jesus is showing the inconsistency between the Pharisees in their view of David and their view of his disciples at this time. I also want to emphasize the fact, as we did this morning, that our attitude toward God is going to be reflected in our attitude toward the law. You cannot disregard the law and say you love God. And this is emphasized in these passages. We're not going to, I'll just quote them here, and you're familiar with them. John 14, verse 15, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Luke 6, verse 46, Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" Also in 1 John 5 and verse 3, John says, "This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." We talked about the love of God in our singing tonight. God's love for us that motivates our love for Him. What is the love of God? That is our love for Him, keeping His commandments. And we don't break His commandments, not even in one point. If I make the decision in one point to transgress God's law, I'm basically saying, "Lord, I don't agree with you in this." I'm basically, it's a reflection of my love for Him. It's saying, there's some things that I love more than I do you, Lord. And we emphasize the fact, too, that these laws of God are consistent with His command to love. The Pharisees' problem was not placing too much emphasis on the law, but their problem was they broke parts of the law to fulfill their own agendas. They were not emphasizing the law enough, you see. They were not overly emphasizing the law. They were, by making these other laws about the Sabbath and so on, they were not putting as much emphasis upon the law as God wanted them to. God's laws are consistent with His command to love and show mercy. Love is the fulfillment of the law. And so someone says, well, in order to do the loving thing, to obey God's command to love, there are certain laws that we're going to have to break in order to do that. No, because the laws of God, all the laws of God, are consistent with His command to love. Let's emphasize that again. Matthew 22, verses 35 to 40. "Then one of them, a lawyer, asked Him a question, testing Him and saying, 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said to them, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" Notice verse 40. "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So all that the law and the prophets said, all their commandments under the law, could be hung under these two: loving God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, loving your neighbor as yourself. In other words, if you're going to love God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, you're going to keep these laws. You're not going to violate them. This is also stated in Romans 13, verses 8 through 10. "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law." All these commandments can be summed up under the one command: love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, if you love your neighbors yourself, you're going to fulfill the law. You're going to do what the law says. And that's what these passages are saying. And then to say that in order to do the loving thing, that is what God's commanded to love, we're going to have to break some commands? I don't see that anywhere. And is that now what's being taught in Matthew chapter 12? Is that what Jesus is now teaching us? I don't see that that's what the Lord is saying in this passage. So let's continue our study. We did not look at the remainder of Matthew chapter 12. In verses 5 and 6, verses 5 and 6, where He says, "Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple." And so what is the Lord saying here? Again, He's responding to the Pharisees, who are saying that Jesus' disciples, in plucking the grains in the grain field on the Sabbath, are transgressing the Sabbath law, violating the Sabbath law. And Jesus says, "Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priest and the temple profane the Sabbath? What is he referring to? Well, he's referring to the priest on the Sabbath had obligations, God-given obligations, to offer sacrifices. There were sacrifices that were to be offered in the temple on the Sabbath. Therefore, labor was being done. And so they're laboring on the Sabbath day. And he says, haven't you read about that? And he calls it here profaning the Sabbath. But he also says they're blameless. They're blameless. They're not really doing wrong. They're not to be blamed for anything. What I think is happening here is that the term profane is used not because it was a real profanation, but because being labor, it had the appearance of profanation. They were laboring on that day, and it appeared to be a violation of the Sabbath law, a profaning of the Sabbath law. But keep in mind that God is the one who commanded that the priests were to make certain offerings. Numbers chapter 28, verses 9 through 10, gives specific instructions from God about what the priests were to do on the Sabbath day. And notice the priests are blameless when they do this labor on the Sabbath because God commanded them to do it. What this example proves, and I think what the Lord is wanting them to see here, is that the prohibition of labor on the Sabbath was not universal. In other words, not all labor is prohibited. And that being the case, maybe that would include what His disciples then were doing. Here's the way one person, I don't remember where I got this quote, but Jesus is speaking with hyperbole, saying that the priest profaned the Sabbath by working on the Sabbath to point out that even all work was not forbidden on the Sabbath. Hyperbole is an exaggeration. And so when he says that they were profaning the Sabbath, not that they were breaking it. No, they were doing what God commanded them. But he is saying, exaggerating, by saying they profaned the Sabbath, by pointing out that not all work was not allowed on that day. And also, what we find here is that Jesus, or rather the disciples, were rendering service to Jesus. The disciples are compared to the priests who labor in the temple. When Jesus says, "Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple." In other words, the disciples were rendering service to Jesus, someone greater than the temple. So as they would pluck the grains and give it to Jesus, they were doing a service. But it was a service that was allowed under the law. They were not violating the Sabbath law in doing this. While the Pharisees had looked at that and saw that that was labor there, and they came to the conclusion, well, that's a violation of the law. When they should have been able to see, no, this is not... Now, if the disciples went out and started to harvest the grain on the Sabbath day, that would have been a violation of the law. They should have been able to see that there was no difference maybe between them taking the grain off the stalks and eating it and giving it to Jesus. There's no difference in that than when they were maybe in their homes taking it off the table and eating it and giving it to Jesus. This labor was not that which was in violation of the law. And that was something that these Pharisees, these Jews who had made laws where God had not made them, should have been able to see. They should have been able to apply the Sabbath law to include these areas. But they have not done that. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But he uses the work that the priests were doing in the temple on the Sabbath day to try to get them to see that there's some labor that is allowed. Now, what about what he goes on to say concerning what Hosea states in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6, down in verse 7, he says, "But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless." Now this is a quote from Hosea 6 and verse 6, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice." And Jesus says, if you knew what that meant, then you would not have condemned my disciples who are guiltless. They haven't violated the law. They haven't done anything of which they are to be guilty. You would not have condemned them if you understood what this means. Well, the Israelites in the days of Hosea, we're not going to go back and look at all of this, but in that day, they were offering sacrifices, but the Lord was not pleased. Why? Well, because they showed no mercy toward their neighbors. Their heart was not right. The Jews were not what they ought to be, but they were still offering sacrifices. And so Hosea says, I desire mercy. This is what God was saying in the days of Hosea. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Well, didn't the Lord desire sacrifice? Had not He commanded sacrifice? Is He saying to them, you know, if you are merciful, you don't have to sacrifice? Don't worry about sacrificing? He says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. No, what He's saying is, if you're going to sacrifice, do what I tell you in sacrificing, make sure you have the right kind of heart. Make sure that you're approaching me in the sacrifice which I have commanded you, being the right kind of person. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 1. We find the same thing here, similar here. Beginning with verse 12 of Isaiah 1, it says, when you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand? Well, God had. Had He? Come before Him offering the sacrifices? But He's saying to them, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. And then later in verse 6, He's saying here, don't do it. Don't offer these sacrifices. Verse 16, He says, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. This is what they were not doing. Their heart was not right. They were not showing mercy toward their fellow men. They were oppressing their brethren. And here they were coming to the temple, and they were offering these sacrifices. And the Lord says, I don't want it. Why? Not because He didn't want the sacrifices. It's because they didn't have the right kind of heart. They were not the kind of people that He wanted them to be, and they needed to change their hearts. That was the problem. And that was the problem in the days of Hosea. That was the problem in the days of Malachi. We could turn to Malachi chapter 1. Matter of fact, he says, who will shut the doors to the temple? He didn't want them offering it. It's not that He didn't want sacrifices. He wanted sacrifices. But He wanted sacrifices coming from people who had the right kind of heart. Well, the Pharisees needed to learn this. That's not supposed to be up there yet. We'll be up there in a minute. The Pharisees needed to learn this. If they had the right kind of heart, they would not have imposed their own Sabbath laws on the people. If they had the right kind of heart, they would have been in a better position to apply the Sabbath day law. Not to break it, not to know when they can break it. No, they would have been better able to understand how to apply it. That it was not in a situation where they're just going through the grain fields and they're plucking the grains off of the stalks and eating it, similar to what they would do if they were even in their homes, and then accusing these of violating the law. Accusing them of breaking the law. Again, if they had gone out and started harvesting the field, yes. But they weren't doing that. They were just eating on the Sabbath day, and there was nothing wrong with eating on the Sabbath day. Again, the problem here was with the heart of the Pharisees, and this is what they needed to learn, is that principle stated in Hosea 6 and verse 6, that I desire mercy and not sacrifice. That is, in order to offer the sacrifices to God, I need to have this kind of heart. And the Pharisees did not have that kind of heart. The Pharisees did not understand the true nature of the Sabbath law because they did not have the right kind of heart. In Mark's account of this, Mark and Luke also give an account of this same instance. Here's what it says in verse 27. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Now that's not recorded in Matthew's account, but Jesus said that as well. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, this is something they should have understood in order for them to apply the Sabbath law. Jesus is wanting them to understand the true nature of the law, the Sabbath law. They had misunderstood the law and therefore had made laws which were inconsistent with God's laws and which were binding that which God had not bound. Jesus is not saying here that there are times it is all right to break the Sabbath law, but he wants them to understand that the law is actually what it's actually saying so that they won't misapply it. He wants them to keep the law as God intended for them to keep it. That's what he's trying to get them to see. There probably were some areas of where, okay, now, is this a violation of the Sabbath law? Is that a violation of the Sabbath law? If I travel this far or that far? Maybe there were some areas where they had to make some application of that. But the conscientious person who had the right kind of heart, they would then make those decisions. We'd have that as well. We have areas of where we have to make decisions. You know, the Lord has given us instructions about modesty, hasn't He? First Timothy 2, where he says that we are, women are to adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefastness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or costly raiment, but that which is becoming of a woman professing godliness. How do you apply that? Now, we know lines have to be drawn. And there's a right and there's a wrong. There's a black and there's a white. I know there may be some gray areas here, but there's a right and there's a wrong, and we have to apply them. And the person who loves God and the woman that loves God and wants to please Him, you know what she's going to do? She's going to make sure she's in that white area, not the black area. She's going to want to make sure that she's doing the right thing. But she's not going to make laws where God has not made them. She will make laws based on the principles, and there are some lines that could be drawn, just like they drew lines concerning the Sabbath. They had to do that. But what the Pharisees had done, they had been making laws where God had not made them because they did not have the right kind of heart. They did not have a mercy and the love in their heart that they ought to, that would help them to make those applications. You know, concerning attendance. I was talking to Jerry Combs earlier about this. You know, what about attendance? Are there legitimate reasons for missing? Yeah, I think we all, the Lord wants us to be in our assemblies. And we'll talk more about that in other lessons. But what are the legitimate reasons? Well, I'll tell you what, the person who has the right kind of heart are going to make good decisions. There are sometimes they're not going to be able to come. The Lord does not require us to do what we're not capable of doing. But there are times that we are. What are the principles that God has given us to help us make those kinds of decisions? It's surely not the kind of thing, there are times I can break God's law, and if I don't come for this reason, sometimes we can break God's law. We're not breaking God's law. We never break God's law. We always want to make sure we're doing what God said concerning attendance. But we've got to make some decisions. And yes, there are some gray areas. But there's areas of where the one who loves God and who's wanting to do what's right, he has the love and mercy and faith in his heart, he's going to make those. He's going to grapple with those decisions, and he's going to make the decisions that he knows that will be pleasing unto God. These Jews here did not have the right kind of heart, and what Jesus, I believe, is doing here is trying to get them to see, based on what the priest did and based on the fact that the Sabbath was that man was not made for the Sabbath was made for man, that these are principles that would have helped them draw some conclusions about where they then drew the lines concerning the Sabbath law. Not to violate it, never violate the law. It's the point. He also let them know that He is the Lord of the Sabbath. In verse 8, and He knows exactly how to apply it. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And so He knows how to apply it. What He's saying to them here is that I'm giving you some things to think about so that they would then make those decisions that would be pleasing unto the Lord. Well, Jesus here in His teaching emphasized the keeping of the law, all the law. He never condoned the breaking of God's law. If you think Matthew 12 is teaching that there are times it's okay to break God's law, then show me anywhere else where God condoned the breaking of His law, or Jesus condoned that. Jesus was not condoning David's eating of the showbread, which was a violation of the law. Jesus said it Himself. But rather, He was highlighting the inconsistency of His opponents in that they approved David in his disobedience, but condemned His disciples who were guiltless. Jesus was not teaching that under certain circumstances it is appropriate to break God's law and to do the right thing. But what He was trying to get them to do is to see some principles that will help them to properly apply the Sabbath law. Well, I hope some things that I've said will help you as you study this passage. If you believe that I have missed it, I would really appreciate you coming to me and talking with me about that, because I've grappled with this passage. This is the conclusion I've come to, but if I am wrong, if I've missed it somewhere, then I would appreciate any help that you might could give me in correcting me and helping me to see the truth. But I do know that the Lord wants us to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And He wants us to keep His law, keep His commandments. And that's something that if we love Him, we are going to work at, trying to obey, understand what His commandments are, and really wanting to please Him in those keeping His commandments. And when we do that, then He's pleased. We will bring glory unto Him. And as we continue to live that life, we're not going to be perfect, but that's the reason we need the blood of Jesus. When we do fail, we do things that are wrong, we repent of that. We seek God's forgiveness. And the blood of Jesus is there cleansing us from all sin. And I tell you, when we go through our life striving to please Him, seeking His forgiveness through the blood of Jesus, when we do wrong, then that's the basis upon which we can have our hope. That's the reason we know that when the Lord comes, we're going to go and be with Him. That's the reason that we know that if I die, I'm going to go to be with my Lord. I don't have to worry. And we can have a peace throughout life. And if you don't have that, we encourage you to come to Jesus. Come to Him. He's the Savior. He's the one that died for you. And you must come to Him in order to be saved. And that means committing your life to Him. Commit your life to obeying Him. Hebrews 5, 8 and 9 says, though He was a son, yet He learned obedience of the things which He suffered. And having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. And so in order to be saved by Jesus, we must come and obey Him. Come to Jesus tonight. If you're not a Christian, come believing that He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized in His name for the remission of sins. If you've done that but you've fallen away, come back. Repent of your sins, confess your sins, and pray God for forgiveness. If you need to come, please come as we stand and sing.